Welcome to Liberty Baptist Church and our Sunday Praise online again. We are glad to be able to bring you the worship service online and pray that it's a blessing to you and that you will share that, spread the news, spread the link, let other people know about it. We're still not able to physically meet together, but there's no reason that we cannot worship together electronically. So welcome here as we do that. A few announcements, actually repeated from last week. The contact information you see on the screen, my cell phone number, my email address, and my work number, and then the website address for our church. You can get me through any of those venues. This worship service will be loaded to the libertybaptistlife.org website. So feel free and please do go and look there and let other people know as well. Giving information is the same information as we had last week as well. We're still receiving checks by the mail. We've not turned on online giving yet. And if you would like to mail your tithe and offering, you can certainly do that. The address is on the screen as well. Liberty Baptist Church, 2315 Highway 31 North, Deatsville, 36022. Let me encourage you to keep in contact with your brothers and sisters, particularly any of those that are elderly or shut in. Let them know that you're thinking about them and praying for them. See if there's anything they need. And then please, by all means, let me or one of the deacons know if there's any need that that you can't help yourself. We'll be glad to step up and do what we can. Continue to pray, continue to worship, study, and minister. And remember that we are the church. The building is not the church. And the love of Christ is in us and through us and all around us. If you have any questions, please let me know. You can send me a text message, you can call me on the phone, or you can contact me via Facebook as well. So we're going to have a worship song in just a moment, and then we'll go into Kids with the King. But first of all, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you together. Even though we may not be physically in the same building, you've told us that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you are in the midst of us. So we welcome you here, Lord Jesus, in the person of your Spirit, as we worship, to receive our worship and to guide and direct us. Father, we are in difficult times, dark times, and that's no surprise to you. But we pray, Lord, that you will shine your light, that you will heal people, that you will stop the spread of the virus, and Lord, that as you are in control, you'll be manifested to the world, that they might know that you indeed are God and are God alone. Thank you for what you have done, for what you're going to do. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, welcome, and we're going to do the Kids with the King special as we normally do on Sundays. We're going to do that today. So if you've got any children in your house, get them close to the microphone. Let them see the screen on your computer because this part of the message is definitely for them. I know that school's out, and to start with, you probably are saying, yay, no school. But also, in the same vein, you're probably a little sad. You're probably a little confused and maybe even a little scared about some of the things that are going on, and that's normal. But let me encourage you as you go through these next days and these next weeks, however long it takes for everything to get back to some semblance of normalcy, let me encourage you to remember that Jesus Christ is our Lord in every situation, whatever we find ourselves in. Verse of Scripture I want to share with you today comes from John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So remember that Jesus is here in the midst, that this virus, this situation did not take him by surprise, and he's got a plan. Now, we may not understand what it is, but we can still trust him that he knows what he's doing. So let me encourage you, if you get scared or you get troubled, talk to mom and dad about it, or if you want to send me a message or give me a call, that'd be great. I'd love to hear from you. I miss seeing you guys, but understand that Jesus is always there, and you can always go to him at any time, day or night, wherever it is, and he will hear you, and he will give you comfort. Got a little worship video for you that I think you're going to enjoy.
I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul.
Father, I pray for these youngsters that are under the sound of my voice today, that you'll bless them, that you'll comfort them, that you'll bring your peace. Lord God, you tell us that your Spirit, another name from your Spirit, is the Comforter. And I pray that you will comfort their fears, Lord, that you will provide what they need. And Lord, we all come to you together praying that you will eradicate this virus, that you will bring us back to where we may meet again together. Lord, we miss our time together. But we thank you that through this venue of technology and electronics, we can still continue to touch each other and to worship you together. So, Father, I pray for these youngsters. It is our earnest prayer that each one comes to know you personally as their Lord and Savior, and that doing that, they will walk daily in your grace and your knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father.
see the names on the board of those we've been praying for, and I'm sure there's a whole lot on your heart and your mind now in addition to these that we can be praying for. So let's do that as we sing God Bless America.
God bless America.
The title of the message today is What Manner of Person? What Manner of Person? We're going to continue thinking about, because of this crisis, because of this pandemic, because of the difficulties we find ourselves in. We talked last week about that God sends comfort, that He said, comfort my people. Well, He also has other things to tell us as well. And part of that is, what manner of person should we be? Listen to the words of this worship video.
Stars are made to worship.
chase down my heart to all of my faith.
Thank you for your love and your blessings. Thank you that in the midst of darkness and disorder and even death, we can have life, we can have light, we can have love, we can have victory. Open our hearts and our minds today, Father, as we open your word. Guide us by your Spirit. Well, I pray I'll be your instrument here today, that you'd forgive me of my sins. Help me to be the person, the pastor you've called me to be. Father, we pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. So what manner of person is God calling us to be? Well, does the time we face have anything to do with what he's calling us to? No. He's going to call us to do this and to be this kind of person irregardless of the situation we find ourselves in. But I think it is even more so important today that we do this, that we are this, because the world needs to see that there is a difference. Because the world is afraid. The world is confused. The world is in darkness. They need to see the light. They need to see the truth. They need to see love. So the verses of Scripture we're going to look at today, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, Paul tells us, under the leadership of God's Holy Spirit, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Let's look at that again. If then you were raised with Christ. Now what does that mean? It means if you have been saved, you're raised again, just like Christ has been raised from the dead. We are raised again, a new creature. The old ways have passed away. We are a new creature in Him. Seek those things which are above. Now what does that mean? That means spiritual things, the things of God, not the things of the world. Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And let's skip on down verses 12 through 17 of Colossians chapter 3. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. God knows we need the peace of God today because there's not a lot of peace going around in the world. Everywhere you look, there's anything but peace. There is discord. There is destruction. There is death. There is doubt. And there is fear. And that's the way the world is going to be. That's the way the world has been since the fall. And it's just picking up speed as we get closer to the day of Christ's return. But if we are the church, if we truly are the church, if we belong to Jesus Christ, then the peace of God, the peace that comes from Jesus, the same peace I was talking about with the kids earlier in the service, that peace can rule and reign in our hearts. It should rule and reign in our hearts because we have been called into unity with Christ, into unity with the Spirit of God, and this verse tells us to be thankful. Thankful for what? Oh, any number of things. We've got so many things to be thankful for. You know, I was thinking the other day, I was looking at some pictures from the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918. You know, we think, oh my goodness, we've got it bad. Oh no, we don't have it bad. Not at all. Nothing like they had 50 million people worldwide died from the Spanish flu. You know, it is unbelievable. Those numbers boggle your mind. So just at the very beginning, yes, there's a lot to be thankful for. So don't ever, ever doubt that we have things to be, no matter how dark it may look, we still have things to be thankful for if the peace of Christ, if the peace of God rules in our hearts. And then he says down there in verse 17, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let everything we do in all aspects of our life be to honor and glorify Christ Jesus. Don't try to segregate your life and say, oh, this part is going to be separate. I don't have to let Jesus in over here. Yes, you do. If He's Lord, then He needs to be in every section of our life. Then 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. So what's he telling us here? He's telling us there will be an end. Now, is this the beginning of the end? I don't know. But I can tell you for sure we're one day closer than we were yesterday. And Scripture tells us we need to always be ready. Yes, it may be this year. It could be this week. I don't know. But what Scripture over and over again tells us is to don't leave anything undone. Always be ready. Make sure where you stand spiritually, because you never know when your soul may be required of you. The day of the Lord that this passage is talking about is Judgment Day. There will come a day that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The institutions of man will answer to Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about it. Nothing will be left without Jesus' view and judgment. It'll all be burned up. It'll all be gone. Don't place your trust in the things of the world, in the institution of man, in your own power, your own pleasure, your own prestige, because it's not going to last. So then, nothing really is normal. You know, you might think, well, we are certainly not normal lately. And I would agree with you. Things are really, really different than what we expect. However, even though there's questions and doubts and fears, the truth is we have an invisible enemy that is stealing our normalcy, and that's not a coronavirus. The enemy is named Satan, and he's using fear to do that. So what as a Christian should be our response to this pandemic? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because we're going to look at that. There's three things we're going to talk about today as a Christian response, what manner of man or woman should I be if I'm a man or woman of Christ? Well, these three things, I think, ought to typify what it means to be a Christian, especially responding to this situation. Priorities, praise, and perseverance. The first one we're going to look at is priorities. If there's one thing I think this pandemic has done, it has served to focus us on what really matters, because everything else is slowly being shut down and pulled away. Just a few weeks ago, people were concerned about some kind of sport event or some kind of star or some kind of movie or some kind of theater thing or some kind of concert. All kinds of stuff was on their mind. Well, now none of that is available. It's gone. It's shut down. And it's interesting that the church was opened every Sunday, every Wednesday, and people decided they didn't need or didn't have the time to go. And now all of a sudden, they've got the time to go, but the church building is not available to go and congregate together. So things have indeed been turned upside down by the situation. And I think it helps, at least in my own life, and from observation it appears in other lives as well, that it helps to highlight what really is important in life. And the first and most important thing in our life should be our relationship, or lack thereof, with God. Because if we have a true relationship with Jesus Christ, then I can honestly and truly tell you, no matter what happens with the coronavirus, it'll be okay. Now, how can I say that? I'm not some super-duper Christian, but I'm telling you the same thing Paul was saying in his epistle. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the worst that can happen to you on this planet is to lose your physical life. But we already know, based on God's Word, that you're going to be immediately in the presence of the Lord. So that's just trading a tent for a mansion in heaven. So that'll be okay if you truly know Jesus Christ. But let me ask you, do you really and truly know Him? I'm not asking do you know about Him, not do you occasionally come to church, not do you occasionally read your Bible, not were you baptized once upon a time, but do you have a real, living, vibrant relationship with the living Lord of the universe? Because if you do not, you do not have a relationship with Him. Knowing about Him gets us no better and no higher than the demons, because they recognized Him in the New Testament. They knew who He was. They knew of Him. But they did not have a relationship with Him. Just because you know there's a God does not mean you get into heaven, because He is not going to weigh your good works versus your bad works to determine if you get into heaven. The only thing that any of us are going to get into heaven with is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you really know Him? Not do you know about Him, but do you really, truly know Him? You can't get into heaven on your mom's faith or your dad's faith or your spouse's faith or anybody else's faith. The only way you're going to get there is if you're saved by grace through faith with a real personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Was there ever a time in your life that you asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior? If there has never been a time, then I submit to you that you do not have a personal relationship. And the most important, the most critical thing you need to do is establish that today before anything else happens. Well, what other priorities the Scripture talk about? Well, our family. We have priorities with our family. Now, when I say family, kids, your spouse, your parents, and those even a little bit removed from that, absolutely. We have a love, I hope, for them, an obligation to them, and we have priorities for them. It is too easy in our day and time to let money or something else try to be a substitute for time with a family. Well, it doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. Families are being forced together during this pandemic, and that is not a bad thing. that is not a bad thing. Now, I know it may feel bad sometimes, but that really is not a bad thing, because we need to invest in our children. We need to invest in our families, because they're not always going to be here. It's going to come a day when your parents won't be here. It's going to come a day when your spouse may not be here. It's going to come a day when your children are going to move off and be somewhere else. So family is not always going to be close by. Now, they'll always be your family, but they may not be close where you can lavish love on them. So take advantage of the time. Let them know that you love them. Spend the priority time with them. Set aside some time, especially just for them. And then church, and I included church family. You might want to look at it either way. That is also a priority, because the church family is just as much a family as your biological family. At least it should be. And you should have the same love and care for them as you do for your biological family, because your brothers and sisters in Christ are going to be there for eternity. You're going to spend eternity with them. Now, I hope that your biological family is also your spiritual family as well. But your church family, if they really are Christians, which they should be, then you will spend eternity with them. Lavish love on them. I think another thing that this pandemic has demonstrated is the value of fellowship with each other, because it's highlighted how difficult it is to miss that fellowship. You know, if you're used to being with people every Wednesday and every Sunday, and then you're not, that leaves a hole in your heart. And it should. So our priority is, or should be, to the church and to the church family. So remember that. As I said earlier, check on your brothers and sisters. Let them know that you're thinking about them and praying for them. You know, send them an email, send them a text message, call them on the phone. I know you're not supposed to go by and see them right now. You're supposed to be doing social distancing, but you can still reach out electronically and touch somebody. I know it means a lot to me, and I'm sure it means a lot to any other Christian to get a card or a letter or an email or a text that says, hey, just thinking about you today and praying for you. Do that. The last priority listed is love. You know, there's a song that says, they'll know we are Christians by our love. If you never speak a word but show love, then that's what you need to do. Now, we need to speak as well, obviously. But you demonstrate real and true love by your actions, not just what you say, but what you do. Demonstrate love. Agape love, God-like love, the Scripture talks about, is an active, self-sacrificing love, and it is visible to others, even to the world that does not know Jesus Christ. They will see your love, and they will know something is different. Just today, a man I never met before in my life in our neighborhood found out through some neighborhood Facebook page or whatever, I don't even know, that Kathy was still trying to get somebody to dig the ditch for her power line to her she shed. And he called her and said he had rented a ditch witch, and he was doing some work at his house, and he was going to come over after lunch and, you know, dig the trench. And I said, okay, great, that's fine. You know, we'll split the cost of the ditch witch. So he showed up, I helped him unload it, and it took about an hour or so to dig the ditch, and he would not take any money for it. He said, I just want to do it to help folks out. So they go to another church, but we're still brothers and sisters in Christ. So, you know, there's another example, a tangible aspect of love. So we need to be showing love to the world. Secondly, praise. What manner of people should we be? Well, first is have the right priority. Secondly is the praise. How many of us, don't raise your hand, even electronically, but how many of us can admit to being lukewarm over church attendance at some point in time? Well, you know, yeah, I need to go to church today, but I don't feel like it. You know, so-and-so's coming up, I got to study for a test, I got to go do something at work. And we have all kinds of excuses why we don't show up for church. How many times, even as Christians, have we taken the church for granted? And now, all of a sudden, you can't come. The church building is there, but you can't come. It's probably just a little bit of the feeling that our brothers and sisters years ago in the Iron Curtain had when they couldn't go to church because it was against the law. Well, the church doors are shuttered for health reasons now, and we don't know how long that's going to be. Now, thankfully, we have this venue electronically where we can do that. But how many people would come to church now because they're scared, they're afraid, they feel alone, and yet they can't come? I tell you, we take way too many things for granted. There may come a day when if you come to church, you take your life in your own hands. I don't know. We may see that. Don't take church for granted. But you know what? Even though you can't come to the physical building, you can still worship. You can still praise. If you've been listening to this today, then you've been doing worship. You've been doing praise. I thank Michael and Greg and Jan for leading us in worship, and for Donald for coming and doing the recording and putting all this together to help us be able to electronically worship and praise together. The church is still alive. Never, ever forget that. Even though the doors are locked and the lights are out at the building, the church is alive because the church is not the building. We are the church. The church is living, alive, and always has been and always will be. Because if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are the church, and praise ought to be second nature to you. Praise God in everything, everywhere, all the time. You might say, well, I can't carry a tune, and that's okay, you don't have to. Scripture does not say sing in tune. It says make a joyful noise. Now, I'm sure Michael would appreciate you being in tune, but the important thing is that you praise God. One of the most moving worship songs I ever saw in a church was by a deaf teenage girl. She could not hear, and she was so far off tune, I don't even know what key she was in. But there wasn't a dry eye in the house because the worship was from the heart. And I'm sure it was beautiful music to the ears of God. So make praise a part and parcel of every day. Don't say, oh, well, I can't go to church, so I can't praise. Yes, you can. Do it. If you want to pull up a YouTube video and sing along with any of those Christian singers, then by all means, do that. If you want to sing on your own, if you can play the piano, then get down and play it and sing. Whatever you need to do. Maybe you just want to sing a cappella, and that's okay too. Sing praises to the Lord. Sing praises to the Lord. Make praise a part of your everyday life. When other people meet you, do they see something different in your life to make them question, well, you're not reacting like everybody else. What's the difference? And then maybe you can tell them the difference is Jesus Christ. He makes all the difference in my life. Praise Him with the words of your mouth and with the actions of your life. Thirdly, there's perseverance. Now, I used to have a big picture in my office at work back when I used to do a lot of cycling. And it was a picture of a bunch of a cyclist silhouette, really, with the sun setting behind them. And the word perseverance was written on the bottom. And if you've never been on a long-distance bike ride, you might not understand that word in connotation with that picture. But when you do a century bike ride, a 100-mile bike ride, there comes a time in that ride when you rather just stop. You rather just stop. But you say, oh, I got to keep going. Well, how do you keep going? You do one pedal stroke. You get down to where you're not worrying about what mile am I at, or what the hill's looking like, or the am I going downhill? You're just looking at rotating those pedals, one more revolution, another revolution. You got to persevere one step at a time, one cycle at a time, and you keep on keeping on, and then before you know it, you've made 100 miles. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says this, "Do not grow weary in well-doing." Now, we are physical creatures, but we're not only physical creatures. We are spiritual as well. Our physical bodies get tired. As we age, they get tireder, I think, quicker. But we can still be energized. We should be energized by the Spirit of God. And He tells us, don't grow weary in doing good. Hang on. Hang on. Because Jesus has got this. He will see us through. How many times in Scripture have you seen individuals that were serving God, doing what God called them to do, and seemingly they get their back up against a wall, and there's no way out, and all of a sudden, God does something. He opens the Red Sea, or He shuts the mouths of lions, or He directs a stone between the chink in the armor and takes down a 9-foot-tall giant. Time after time, God does these miraculous things, but it's the same God we serve today, and God still is in the miracle-working business, and He will give you the stamina, the strength you need to do what He's calling you to do. We just need to be willing to do it and step out and do it. Abraham, how old was Abraham when he took Isaac up to be sacrificed? Isaac was a teenage boy. Abraham was probably 113, 114, 115 years old. And yet he followed through with what God was asking him to do. And because of that, God blessed him. God wants us to be faithful. God wants us to be willing. And God will provide what we need. You just take the first step. I know the night I made a decision at Salem Baptist Church, I remember the first step out into the aisle, but I don't remember the rest of them. The next thing I knew, I was up there shaking hands with Brother Ray Foreman. I don't know how I got from there up front. I took one step, and that was it. God will see us through. So persevere. Keep the big picture as big as you can. Keep the goal in mind. Life, I'm sure you've heard this before, life is not a sprint. Life is a marathon. You've got to keep going. I shared this before with some people, but I think I'll share it again. When I was first year at, back then, Troy State University, back then you had to have 3 quarter hours of HPER. And I took what they call conditioning. What they should have called it was running. Coach Costes. And so there must have been 150 of us that met at the stadium. And Coach Costes was running around the track. I don't know how old he was. He looked like he was 90 years old then, but old gray-haired guy. And he was hobbling like a horse, like a horse with a bad gait. And so he comes up and starts talking to us and explaining the class. And he said, "Okay, I'm going to give you your workout today." And I don't remember what it was. It was like 4 times 440 and something else. I don't know, but it was a pretty good distance run. And he said, "I'm going to run with you guys." Now, bear in mind, he was running when we got there. I don't know how long he'd run. So we're like, "We're 18 years old. You're going to run with us? We're going to leave you in the dust." Well, we left him in the dust for about the first lap, and then he caught us, and then he passed us. And then our tongues were hanging out by about the 4th, 5th, 6th time around the track, and he made the distance. But then we found out he was a marathon runner. He runs 26 miles. So life is not a sprint. It is a marathon. Hang on. And the truth is that Jesus does the hanging on. We don't hang on by our own strength. We let Him grab on to us. He's the one that holds on to us. We don't do it in our own power. Let me assure you, don't lose heart, don't lose courage. We will get through all of this. We will get through it. Now, I don't know if it's going to happen in a few weeks. I don't know if it's going to be a few months. I don't know the timetable. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ has it under control. His church will persevere. We just need to do the same. Persevere, keep on keeping on, keep doing what you know you're supposed to do. God is in control. He does know. Spend time with Him in prayer. Spend time with Him in worship. Spend time in your Word, in the Word of God. Spend time in reaching out to others. Spend time doing what you know the church is supposed to be doing, and let God take care of the rest. And He will do it. And when we get back together in this building together, we're going to have a celebration like you ain't never seen before. So keep that in mind as well. So here is your compass point. We don't know how long the crisis will last. I already said that. But we do know that our God will never leave us nor forsake us. He will empower us to make it through and to do what He's calling us to do. Stay the course. That's my message for you today. If you're a Christian, stay the course and follow His lead. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then let me encourage you today in the next few moments to bow your head wherever you are and ask Him to forgive you of your sins, to save you, to be your Savior and be your Lord. And He will do that. And then He will lead you by His Spirit. You will be part of the church, even though you may not can come down here to the building. You will still be part and parcel of the body of Christ. And you too then will persevere and be part of those that will see this through to the end. Let me encourage you. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Now God told Joshua, be bold. Be courageous. You might say, Lord, how in the world can I do that in the midst of all this fear? Well, I'll remind you that perfect love casts out fear. Nobody loves perfectly like God. His perfect love should cast out any fear we have as we lean upon Him and trust in Him. Let's pray. Father, in the next few moments, as we close with a song, I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that does not have peace, that does not have joy, that is still full of fear, that, Father, they will realize that they can surrender their life to You, that they can come to You right now, that they can say, Lord God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm deserving of hell. But Lord Jesus, will You forgive me of my sins? Will You save me? Will You fill me with Your Spirit and guide me from this day forward for the rest of my life to be the man, woman, boy, or girl that You are calling me to be? And I promise you, you can trust God. You can trust His Word. You can trust that He will never leave you, never forsake you. He always will know where you are, and He will bring you through it and bring you home. Father, thank You for this time together. Thank You for the opportunity to worship You. Help us to continue to be Your church, to have the right priorities, to always praise, and continue to persevere. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.